This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, apparently Katy Perry has responded to the JonBenet Ramsey Curtspiracy, and she didn't say no.
Right.
Have you spent any time watching the AI video in which they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Katy Perry is actually JonBenet Ramsey?
I haven't seen that video, but okay. I have been on this. This conspiracy has been going on for quite some time.
So she responded on social media. Mm-hmm. With two words, mm-hmm. and they were, am I? As if she might not know whether she is actually JonBenet Ramsey. I'm just saying.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Was she also working as a custodian in a foreign country?
she may have been. Are you talking about Frank, who is actually Jim Morrison Curtis?
Right.
When does that doc come out?
It's out.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It's out. It's on Apple. speaking of things you can watch this show every day on YouTube or on Twitch. And good morning and hello to those who do. Before heading off to work or heading off to drop the kids off at school or what have. And this show on Twitch every day is presented by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations you can visit. One is in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the others are in Portland, Maine, and in Bath, Maine. And you can visit springersjewelers.com to learn more. And a couple leads left, and then we're going to get to They Said It at 7:20. And we'll listen to Nikita Zadorov try to clean things up a little bit over there in the Bruins dressing room yesterday. But, Wiggy, your lead this morning?
All right, good morning. So I got a PSA plus a lead. So first off, the PSA, fellas, make sure it doesn't matter how old you are nowadays. Make sure that you go get your screening done for your colon cancer. I got my colonoscopy today.
This is the second one this week for you.
Second one this week. No, second one.
Uh-huh. Is it being administered by a doctor?
It is by a doctor. Okay, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
So I know told you really love the colonoscopy.
I want to make sure there's no issues at all.
How do you feel about the home screening?
The home screening.
Dr. Diana had me do the home screening. It's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, you got to go.
I feel bad for the UPS guy.
Yeah. Definitely
on the home test. But
one of the great office scenes ever is when Michael brings Oscar in to ask him about what he should expect in his colonoscopy.
Yes.
Yeah. And he said, any sensations for me or Dr. Chaudhry?
No home screening.
It's kind of a weird, like Dr. Diana sent me the home screen thing.
No.
Well, no, because you can do that.
Right.
You don't have to go in for a colonoscopy I've already had a colonoscopy.
Okay, so that's good.
But that was quite some time ago.
Oh, well, you got to get another one.
You can stay up to date with it with the home test.
The home test doesn't work. It's inaccurate. The best way to do it is going every several years.
How old do you start?
I was thinking of submitting a sample from Bullet. Is that okay?
No.
Yeah, I don't think that'll work.
Also, they will admit you.
Also, we did the DNA test thing on Bullet. Do you think you get the accurate information on the dog breed, or do you think they just send the same response to everybody? Was like Bullet came from a shelter in Georgia, and there's like he's like five different things, like including Chow Chow.
Yeah,
I do not recommend it. We did that with Pudge, and it was totally inaccurate.
Well, we did it. We got the results back the other day. It was mostly like Golden Retriever, and there was another thing that's like American Super Mutt or something. Like, I don't know what that is.
Isn't a mutt just a bunch of other breeds?
But anyway.
So Bullet has bad gambling advice?
Yeah. Curtis, you should start in your mid to late 30s if you have any history.
Okay.
Curtis is in his 40s.
But I'm generally 41. They say 40s is where you go, and then it's
if your biological clock is 82?
Yeah, then I would definitely hit one up.
You can't eat or drink it this
morning,
right?
No, I've been on my medication for like the last 24 hours. So,
all right, lead?
So my lead is this. People stop. They need to stop complaining about the NIL thing. I know Shime talked about the SEC, and then we talked about some NILs with college basketball and college football. And I look at the NILs as simply this, because people are like, oh, these kids are going to get more money here. They're going to get more money there. When do you ever hear people complaining about themselves getting new jobs because they want a pay raise? So can we stop with the people complaining about the NILs? These are just kids trying to take advantage of the opportunity that they have nowadays in college sports to make themselves some money. And if they can make themselves some money at a different location, then that's what they're going to do. I would say this, for the colleges that can, do your best to try to get as many donors and supporters that you can to try to, you know, get some of those players that will make you competitive. And I understand that it's, you know, it's an unfair playing kind of surface when it comes to the NILs, because some schools have more money than others. But that's just the nature of the beast, because they talked about that with not seeing as many Cinderella teams. But that's what happens in today's society when people want to try to make a better living for themselves.
Okay. All right, Wiggy. Thank you very much.
You got it.
We spent a lot of time yesterday on the Boston Bruins and on what is going on internally with that hockey team. And so of interest to me yesterday was a podcast which is called the Sick Podcast. We need more podcasts, Curtis.
Amen.
Pierre Maguire, the great Pierre Maguire, was on it and spoke a little bit about the dark cloud that he says has been hanging over the Boston Bruins since the Jeremy Swayman holdout.
That, to me, based on what we saw Zadorov say, seems to me like this is a player trying to win back his teammates. I'm not saying that he's lost the room or there's this huge divide or anything, but as you've been saying all season, that holdout was a dark cloud over this team, and it still is based on what we just saw there.
Yeah, no, it is. It is, and people aren't going to like that take, but this is what we talked about in the summer in July when it was going off the rails. We talked about it in August when it was going off the rails. We definitely talked about it in September, and we also said as a group, you and I, that if he's not at the start of training camp, this is going to be a big problem for this team. Mm-hmm. And you can go look at the tapes if you don't believe me. And here's what I know. When it mattered the most, the last 12 games, that team's record is 3-8-1. Mm-hmm. When it mattered the most, their record is 3-8-1.
Okay, so is it fair to put any and all of the issues that the Bruins have had this season on Jeremy Swayman and on that holdout?
No, I put it squarely on Sweeney and Cam. Yep. Get the deal done, and then there would be no holdout.
I don't think that you can put all of it on Jeremy Swayman, but I do think that where there's smoke, there's fire there. And if you go back all the way to Marchand, and I don't want to go down this road again, but him the comments he made during Jeremy's holdout and then the way in which Jeremy has performed this season. Yeah, I mean, I understand Curtis also saying he only missed one game, but he missed an entire preseason where all the conditioning happens, all of the built relationships with players happen. Yeah. I think that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Yeah, but that's on Sweeney and Camp for not getting the deal done.
The bigger issue
if it's on the players, you know what? I'm glad I'm not a hockey player, because it sounds like to me they're a bunch of spiteful, hating ass, bitch asses when it comes to their teammates.
Agreed.
The fact that you would sit there and be upset with your teammate who's trying to put himself in a better financial future.
But what if all you have known as a Bruins player has been guys who are willing to take a little less because it's the right thing for the
team. Pasta got $11 million, yeah, and he's played great.
Well, and why is it Zadorov that's making comments? He came here in free agency where he got a massive contract. Why is he bitching at all?
And the Marchand thing also would actually have a little bit of weight if he turned down the same rate or less to maintain his place on the Bruins. He wanted a raise.
And Greg,
so in what way does he have any... I mean, this solidifies to me that Pasta, Swayman, and others were on one side, and Marchand, the captain, was on another side.
And Greg, this is 2025, and when you watch the Celtics, when you watch Celtic City, this has been going on forever, where even in Celtic City, when I think it was Sat Sanders said, oh, Red don't want to pay nobody. Guys,
Red only wanted to pay one guy.
Right, and that was Cousy.
Yeah.
And maybe Russell. So guys have known since the dawn of day that they are fighting to get money as players against the organization. So I'm always going to have my teammates back when it comes to that.
And also, Greg, it'd be one thing if this was like a Deshaun Watson kind of deal. That is a standalone dumb decision by the Browns, and there was no other teams that followed suit. Linus Ullmark, we learned yesterday, or relearned, signed immediately after this for the exact annual value that Swayman did. He set the market for another player on another team. Cam Neely was the one who was publicly creating a bigger issue out of this, calling out the goaltender instead of getting the deal done.
This is Jim from Weymouth. Hey, Jim.
Why is the blame going on Swayman for his holdout and not Swayman's agent?
Good question.
Well, the agent acts in
response to
the player.
Last time I checked, Swayman doesn't negotiate his own contracts. It's his agent.
Yeah, but if Swayman wanted to take less, he could just say, hey, take whatever contract they're offering.
Right.
So the agent just does what Swayman tells him to do.
Or I'm going to go out there and play and practice until you get the deal done. But I told you, I blame Sweeney and Neely. Because if you get the deal done, this is not an issue because he shows up on time. Then this doesn't rear its ugly head in the locker room.
Yeah.
Brad Marchand doesn't say what he says and everybody's happy. Yeah. But because you try to penny pinch like most organizations do in all of sports and don't want to pay guys and give them their fair market value,
then you end up with a goaltender who has no recourse but to hold out.
That's all you can
do. Other guys who are jealous that he... I'm assuming they're jealous that he got his money and they don't think he lived up to the money that he got or whatever. All right.
I mean, if you're jealous, that's just dumb.
All right. Those are our leads this morning. We're going to get to They Said It coming up, and we will hear from Nikita Zadorov, who is trying to clean things up a little bit over there, among other things. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. The Patriots have their receiver. They signed Stephon Diggs to a 3-year, $69 million deal, $26 million of that guaranteed. Elsewhere in the league, Russell Wilson is heading to the Giants on a 1-year deal worth up to $21 million. So the Giants now have Russ and Jameis Winston. The Red Sox sweep in Mexico, winning their second game 12-8. Happy opening day eve. The Sox now in Texas to take on the Rangers tomorrow at 4:05.
Curtis, Marcelo Meyer continues to rake. How long can you wait on that man?
Well, I hope he's in Worcester on Friday for Jones and Keith.
I guess you can wait until May or maybe June, but get the man up here for crying out loud.
Yeah, I don't want to waste a year of service time, though, because then you lose it on the back end of the arbitration years. So.
Okay, well, Will Middlebrooks on this show tomorrow at 8:20 and Sam Kennedy at 9:00. on opening day for Major League Baseball.
The Celtics in Arizona to take on the Suns tonight. Tip is at 10. Xavier Tillman is out while Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful. Both the Seas and Suns riding win streaks. The Seas with 6 and the Suns with 4. The Bruins taking the ice at the same time. They're in Anaheim to take on the Ducks at 10. And for the love of mouth-watering tender roast, hurry into Shaw's and Star Market. Right now, B5 round roast or bottom round roast is just $3.97 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Wiggs, I can't think of a single time where players on a team have complained about another player holding out for money other than this.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was possible.
I was just trying to rack my brain about Patriots or other guys.
Never.
I can't think.
A guy might get money and you go, man, I can't believe him. They gave him that money. But you say that with your circle of friends.
Right.
You
say that with a text thread. You just don't send it to Yemen.
Anytime a guy wants money, and like, so if I'm Brad Marchand and they're saying, oh, Swayman's holding out to get his money, I'm there to support him and say, hey, he's got to do what he's got to do to secure his future.
Well, right. What do you say to this texter from Vermont, it looks like, who says hockey is about culture. It's not an individual sport. Wiggy's take is extremely individualistic.
Well, if hockey is about culture and it's not an individual sport, then why are they so worried about everybody else's money?
And why didn't Marchand take less to stay?
The culture in the dressing room for how we're going to play the game, how we're going to go out there and compete, how we're going to compete in practice is great. But you should never, never at any sport concern yourself in a negative way with your teammate who's trying to financially secure the bag for his future. And if that's the most selfish thing you could do.
Okay, and I realize I'm on an island on this, and I'm fine with it. I don't want to anger anybody. But Jeremy Swayman was holding out.
Yes.
For over $11 million. Wasn't what Cam told you that they were in on 8 almost from the get-go? Is that maybe what is, and I'm just asking the question, is that maybe what is upsetting other players that he wanted $11
million? Well, so remember, I believe the reporting was, it came out that they originally offered him like 6.5 or 6.25.
Spittin' Chicklets, I think, had that.
I believe you're correct. And then we heard about Swayman countering with 10. Because he was like, if you're going to lowball me, I'm going to go super high. And what do you know? They ended up meeting in the middle.
Yeah, and I made a mistake. I didn't ask for more money to do the weather. 35 degrees, mostly cloudy afternoon, high of 48.
All right, they said it. Next. It is a Celtics and a Bruins Wednesday. Mike Milbury will join us next hour at 8:20. And we can talk to Mike Milbury about Jeremy Swayman and Nikita Zadorov and all of those things. Find out whether there is indeed some sort of a black cloud hanging over this Bruins team all season long. Curtis not predicting any black clouds rest of the week, I think, right? We're A-okay on that weather-wise?
No. I mean, I got to tell you, The Patriots getting digs, the Sox starting tomorrow, Crochet on the bump.
Yeah.
We got ourselves, and we have the Celtics just won't lose. I mean, I think Chisholm's going to be like Steinbrenner plus Wick. I think he's going to be the greatest thing in the world. We are headed in the right direction.
Pass it around. We're back. We back. This is Walter from Boston. I think Walter also believes we back. Hello, Walter.
No, my thing is this. Josh's brother was his position coach last year. And if you hear, like, from Bray and everybody, all his position coach said, he was just real competitive, right? So, to me, it's a great signing because what Shine said earlier about Metcalf being better than him, and I agree he's younger than him, but if Diggs is more, he's suitable for Josh's system. Metcalf is just go route. What Diggs is great at is getting open quickly. You know what I'm saying? So, and his pitches online, you can go see it. If Diggs working out, pushing the sled already, so if you get Diggs and add another weapon, you know, like Wiggy said earlier, say if they could get a tackle in the second round and take Warren or something in the first, I mean, you're pumping with diesel fuel to me, so I hope it happens. Have a good day, guys.
By the way, we learned yesterday, Shime, not a diesel fuel guy.
No.
Not good for the environment.
Not at all.
I mean, if you like diesel trucks, drive your diesel truck. I don't care.
He's an EV guy.
Yeah. Just because I love my EV doesn't mean I have to hate on people with diesel. I don't care.
Well, Diggs will
drive what you want.
The New England Patriots have agreed to terms with Stephon Diggs, 3 years, $69 million. And he will be 32 years old when the season begins next year. Is that of any concern for you, Wiggs? I think he will be 32.
I'll tell you exactly
you
how old he is.
Google it.
He's 31 right now. Yeah, yeah. He was born 1993, November 29th. So,
yeah, so
will he be 30?
He'll turn 32 in November.
Yeah, so
Google it.
That's kind of like the end of the season. So he plays his. He'll be 31 when he's playing the majority of that season. I ain't really tripping about that. Yeah. But prior to last year, before him getting hurt, he had 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons in a row. If you just looked at his numbers through 8 games, he would have been fourth on your team in yardage, and he would have been tied for first in touchdowns. He had 3 touchdowns, and he had 496 yards through 8 games.
And I will say this, if we're going to be fair, it is somewhat concerning that a team like the Texans that are trying to get to that next level here said that they don't want him. You know, if he was great and Josh McDaniels' brother, you know, had nothing but praise and C.J. Stroud said he was awesome, then why would you move on from Steph Diggs?
Not only did they move on from him, they preferred Christian Kirk over Stephon Diggs.
So that's just a fair, I mean, obviously, we all think that he'll do well here, and I'm glad the Patriots brought him in. But the other side of that is you have a team that was in the second round of the playoffs against the Chiefs who barely scored against that Chiefs defense who said, we don't want Steph Diggs anymore.
So your only choice is leftovers if that's your
right. A contending team
your
said
argument.
No.
Yeah, I mean, but you knew once you kind of didn't really want to put the pressure on DK Metcalf, and I get what Walt is saying. He is an outside receiver. Diggs can kind of go a little bit inside and run some of that slot stuff. But once you decided, like, all right, you're not in on DK Metcalf, you're not in on Cooper Kupp, you have to then start to say, okay, what's the best available stuff that's left?
Side note. Texter asking, I don't want to get too personal here, but you have a colonoscopy today, you said.
Yeah.
How are you not near a bathroom? This texter has one at 11. They say they can't leave their bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to the bathroom pretty much. Okay. I've been on my, whatever that big giant thing you have to drink is, glycemic
so just to be clear,
or something
I
like that.
I think it's a Borg.
Yeah, it looks like a Borg.
So
it's a Borg for your colon.
So just to be clear, if you have to run out at any moment, we will understand why.
Gosh. Yeah, yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
But I told you, I have control over my bladder and my
bowels.
My bowels.
Yes, right. Yeah. Complete control over both. Yes. Yeah.
Which is all good for your colon.
It is, yes.
Can we stop the colon talk?
Yeah, please, Shine.
It's important.
If you could, please.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me facing. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Is there a sponsor for this segment, Chime?
No, there currently isn't yet, but okay. I believe there will be soon, Greg. Don't you worry.
Oh, okay.
Nice little tease for you.
Okay.
But today, Greg, let's begin with Nikita Zadorov. He made those comments the other day about Jeremy Swayman.
What is Curtis chuckling about?
Shime just asked me to do some investigative reporting on one of our leads. And I think we've had Eric Shun Park De.
What?
The story relating the NCAA and the police investigation into UConn is not a real story.
Oh, well, that wasn't Courtney's lead. I just said I read something yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you got me.
Yeah.
I was.
You got. I mean.
Oh,
you
no,
got
they
me.
Got me. Shine.
I should head home.
I just saw a texter and I asked Curtis to look into it. That's all.
I should get. I got to go.
Yeah. It's all right.
I might not show up the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry I said that.
I mean, I saw it on social media, too. So.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Did you do a deep dive into it?
No, I didn't really go down that rabbit hole.
Why would you believe that?
I generally, anytime I see something, I always put a disclaimer that this could...
Why is this funny when it's one person, but it's somebody's outrage when it's another person?
What do you
mean? Who got Eric Shun
recently? Like, if I said something about the stupid guy sitting in the coffee shop like an idiot... We laugh about it because I bought it. That's funny, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No,
right? I don't know why it makes you
like,
angry.
I mean, I didn't feel I did I make a dramatic statement about
yes, you
it
were or? Just very angry.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, when I said I read something
I didn't even think it was you that said it when Shime told me to look at
it. I thought we talked about it for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, no, they were trying to come at me.
Oh, they were? Oh.
They forgot that you were the one that said it, not me.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
It's another day making Courtney look dumb.
Yeah, nope, I just saw the text and I asked Curtis to look into it. That's all.
Because your thing was the SID.
Yeah, I was just talking about the SID, which is a sports information director. I saw a lot of text saying, there's no, what's an SID? That's what it is.
I didn't know what it is.
I'm sorry. I
look at Twitch right now. That's funny. That I thought those three people were actually sitting in a coffee shop. I mean, it'll be funny for the rest of the
time. Yeah, I didn't know what SID was.
Sean was funny. I believe one time I sent some audio over that was
the AI audio.
AI audio.
Yeah, Luka Doncic.
That was hilarious.
Tremendous.
Hilarious.
I've been Eric Shunned before, but this time.
We all have.
Anyway, what were we right in the middle of?
I believe this is a report from Adarn Schefter.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
God.
Oh, God.
So that was.
What were we in the middle of?
What were we in the middle of?
In radio, that's called a non sequitur. I've learned that.
What is it? A non sequitur.
Oh, is that Ken's email? I think we got an email about that before.
Yeah, he did. Ken gave us an email about a couple different things.
You're good with emails.
Yeah, and the non sequitur was one of them.
Anyway, what were you?
You had a great lead yesterday about the comments from Nikita Zadorov about Jeremy Swayman standing up for his teammate. Nikita Zadorov has since come out and responded to his original comments, and it may seem like he's trying to walk it back a little bit. Here was Nikita Zadorov yesterday.
You're gonna ask me about Swayman's comment? Yeah. You blew it up.
What do you want to say?
Well. When you ask the question like this after 7-2 loss, the players are frustrated. So obviously, the time I was frustrated, and wherever I said it wasn't towards the sway, it was just like I didn't expect that question from you. And sometimes, like, you gotta understand the situation we are at and everything. You pissed off to the game, so I was just basically saying, try to stay away from, find positives. There was a lot of negatives in our game, and I want to keep that way. You know, obviously. We appreciate in this room guys stepping in for each other, and that's a culture that was here before I came here, and I'm trying to follow it as the guy who steps in for teammates. We got Lux, we got Taff, we got everybody. You know, Sway, we need to do anybody in this room. Until I'm here, it's going to step up for each other, and that's the main part for us. So I think he wasn't even thinking, like, comment towards Sway or anything like this. So it was just a took out of the contest. Obviously, he's a huge part of our team. He signed for the next 8 years, and here I'm here for 5 years. We're going to be together for a long time and be a lot of success with this team and back in the playoff hockey and hopefully win the cup in here. So I think that's where we're going to lead.
Isn't it interesting that one of the major things he mentions in his comment is the contracts?
Yeah. It is somewhat. I mean, did he do a good enough job of fixing the situation?
Yeah.
I mean, I think what he said after the game is what he meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't really matter when you go back and try to make it better.
Yeah.
Once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah, after the way it's like, all right, big deal. So Swayman did that. Whoopee. That's what it came across as, like, for me hearing the initial comments when he didn't want to, like, come to Swayman's defense. It's like, why not come to your goalie? Like, not his defense, but why not answer a question and just say, hey, great job by Swayman standing up for guys.
I mean, it really bothered you yesterday because teammates don't do that to other teammates.
Listen, I've played with guys that we weren't great friends. I wasn't great friends with, or I've been around guys. I remember Wesley Wall stood up in the middle of a after practice and was like, listen, I don't like a lot of you MFers out here, but as long as I can depend on you on the field, that's all that matters.
And that's, like, crazy though.
But that's the nature of the world in sports. Everybody has little cliques. But one thing that I learned is you never concern yourself with somebody else's contract and what they're making or how much they make. And the other thing is that you always got their back, even if you don't maybe rock with them. If it's something pops off on the field or somebody says something, you always come to their defense. That's kind of the nature of the team thing.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, there's one former New England Patriot who loves the Stephon Diggs signing to New England. That would be your guy, Bubs Edelman. I had this to say about Stephon Diggs to the New England Patriots.
I like Stephon Diggs in New England because Stephon Diggs is still pissed off at the Bills. So there's going to be hunger, and there's going to be urgency, and there's going to be a fire under his ass in the meeting room at practice, which they could use. They could use a little fire under their ass in that receiver room. And you know that Stephon Diggs, yeah, he's got a lot of like, oh, you know, he's got a lot of the instances where he's got the mind games with the quarterback, but no one ever second guesses how hard he works and the amount of work that he puts into his craft. So if you're getting a motivated Stephon Diggs, like that could be really beneficial to the young football players in that young football room that they call the receiver room in New England. They have a lot of young football players there. You know, it'd be really good for these younger guys to be able to see how to a professional, you know, works daily, how a professional prepares daily, how a professional takes care of his body. And if Stephon Diggs is doing that, you got to bring him in.
Ugh. Does that make you want to run the hill, Wiggy?
I don't want to run the hill, but I agree with Jules. I mean, I want a wide receiver that wants the football. And as an offensive coordinator, when you have a talented wide receiver, you should be doing everything in your power to put him in the best position to make plays. So I think Josh is going to do that, knowing like, all right, Diggs can make plays for us. And if you do that and you get him the football, I think he'll be fine with it. Yeah, everybody's in. They were in Drake May's ear last year, whether it was Jalen Polk, Pop Douglas, Keyshawn Booty. You don't think they were like, hey, Drake, I'm going to be open on this play. Hey, you know, don't forget about me on the backside.
Yeah.
Like, that's what everybody does.
I got the best hands in the
NFL. Yeah, yeah.
Wiggy, your backside is active today.
Nobody quarterbacks I used to say that to as soon as we broke the huddle. The last thing I wanted them to think about was me saying,
was you?
Hey, don't forget about me on that little option route.
Smart.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah, Greg, I got one more for you here. As Courtney pointed out earlier, Drake May, very happy that Stephon Diggs is a New England Patriot. He was also on with Kay Adams yesterday and was asked what the Patriots should do in this year's NFL draft. Here was Drake May.
You, not the front office. What would you like to see it for
see
in the draft?
Four. You take the best player. I think in that early, take the best player available. So, you know, any one of those guys, you know, I don't want to, you know, put my foot in my mouth here. So just whoever wants to come play in New England and you know, win some football games.
Wiggy still thinks there's a good chance that that player who's available at number four is Abdul Carter.
Yeah. Oh, based off of Shime's mock 3.0, and when you look at the Giants, you're committing $14 million to two quarterbacks, $4 million to Jameis Winston, and $10 million in guaranteed money to Russell Wilson. So this,
but do you think the Giants really believe that either one of them is going to be their starting quarterback all season? Or
no, but they have to win football games,
right?
And it becomes extremely difficult to do that with a young rookie quarterback. And so in their minds, they have to get somebody who can come in and start right away. And Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston can do that.
And aren't they both like, if they landed on when Jameis signed with the Giants, we're thinking like, oh, okay, he could be the starter and Shador could learn a little bit and then maybe come in. It's weird that you have two, you know, technically starting quarterbacks that you signed on one team. When they signed Russell Wilson, I'm like, well, you already have Jameis. What are you doing? Yeah. Why do you sign him?
It's also wild that they are only paying Jameis Winston $4 million, and your New England Patriots paid Jacoby Brissett $8 million.
Yeah, that is wild.
For like seven games.
Yeah, Jameis is way better than him. Yeah. And Cleveland hasn't done anything on the quarterback front. So basically, I kind of tend to agree with Chime. That leads me to believe that Cleveland is probably going to take Shador Sanders.
All right, is that it, Chai?
That'll do it today, Greg.
Excellent. Okay. Mike Milbury is going to join us at 8:20, and a lot to talk about when it comes to the end of this Boston Bruins season with Mike Milbury. It's a Celtics Wednesday. Mego will be in here at 9. And Courtney has the news next, and it appears that science has provided Shime and the rest of us with the greatest double burger consumption excuse of all time. We will get to that and the rest of the news next.
Well, police are looking for thieves that have been targeting smoke shops in Boston, Somerville, and Cambridge. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, Mitch has the video of this going down. Three masked thieves were seen on video breaking into the city smoke shop in the North End at 2:31 a.m. yesterday morning.
Are they stealing vapes or actual cash?
I think that they were stealing anything they could get their hands on. Yeah. Same exact thing was happening in Cambridge and Somerville. Here's Waldy Nova, the city smoke shop on BZ.
It's infuriating.
You know what I mean? Like, people work hard to establish a business and make sure that, you know, we're doing right by the community around us. And to have something like that happen is disheartening. It's heartbreaking.
Mm. Yeah. That's right there on Salem Street,
yep.
Right? City
yeah.
Smoke Shop?
Yeah, but middle of the night, they're going in and doing that.
The way we set up the cannabis dispensaries in Massachusetts was like the way we built the seaport. Like, we just didn't think, we just kept building and building. Like, there are, it's a very difficult business for the people in the industry because there was no max number.
There's too many of them is what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, in Providence, I guess, people in Rhode Island drive to Massachusetts to buy marijuana because it's much less expensive here than it is there. But it seems like something that you could have had a little bit more forethought on.
Well, right. If you talk to a legit stoner, like I was talking to Courtney about this, apparently you still get weed cheaper from your dealer, right?
Is that I do not have a dealer.
No, you don't? Okay.
And I've actually...
Courtney knows her plug is way cheaper than going into the cannabis.
But a place like Southie, which is not that big, I believe that there's two shops already up.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, they're out there, but like that place is not... That's not a cannabis
that's
shop.
Just
but they're
shop.
Like, you know, they're... It is cheaper to still get it from your plug, but you don't know what people are putting them in them nowadays. At least everything's kind of regulated. So when
I don't know the answer to this question on the Subaru of New England text line. You can text us anytime on the Subaru of New England text line, and you can find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. 978 texter is sitting on the train right now listening to the show. Person next to them is vaping all over them. They're asking if it is legal to vape in public. Like
I think it is
as well.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah.
Like in an enclosed like area, like
because it's not smoke.
Can't smoke. Well, it is smoke though.
I don't know.
Like
what...
the person's blowing their vape smoke on this individual on the probably trying to enjoy an experience on a beautiful MBTA train, and they got vape smoke all over.
Listen, lead is weagle.
I mean, you're finally listening to the Odyssey app that's working on a train that's moving, and you're getting vape in your face.
And I feel like nowadays everybody vapes, like everybody.
Well, people try to do it sneaky. Like, you ever see somebody in a restaurant?
Jackson?
Like, Jackson does it sneaky in here. Like, but people lean down below
and they
bar
try to blow it into their shirt. It's like it's still coming up.
We understand what you're doing. Yeah.
Just like, do it. You know, I mean, it's like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say. All right.
The Boston City Council is considering a fee for food deliveries now in the city.
Correction. A tax, you mean?
Oh, well, yeah, a tax.
Yeah, a tax. But, what is this tax about?
So it's to help cover the enforcement costs of the ordinance, which is aimed to address the issues caused by the delivery drivers on mopeds, on scooters.
Get
I'm sorry, that's
here.
Not my fault. Why am
not,
I paying more?
It is not... Get out of here with this. So these people, my Lord, do they not have anything better to do than tax people who can barely afford to live in their city?
Wow.
Like, so they're going to charge you a tax for everything you get delivered because delivery drivers are running amok.
Right.
And going up the sidewalk, and don't we already have the traffic enforcement people in place to write the tickets on that?
That's what I thought.
So why do the people ordering the food have to be the ones who pay?
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, the guys on the mopeds and everything wouldn't be running amok if you got rid of them stupid-ass bike lanes.
Exactly.
Well, and that's a great point, Wiggy.
If we really cared about correcting traffic issues, why would we be reducing the size of every lane in the streets of Boston? This is such a backwards way to punish business because you, the government of Massachusetts and the city of Boston, have created mass gridlock because of lanes that nobody uses.
Yeah. And you know what? They probably assume, because none of them have ever worked in private enterprise, they probably assume that Uber Eats or DoorDash will just pick up the charge. No, they won't. They will make the consumer pay for
Correct.
It.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And this also puts into the perspective the whole conversation. The Blue Bike company is owned by Lyft, which is why. So if you can't park your car, what do you have to do in the city of Boston?
Bike.
Or take
a Lyft.
A Lyft. It's all connected, and we are the ones that always foot the bill.
Yeah. New court documents reveal that Brian Koberger's family may testify for the prosecution in the trial against him for the murder of the four students at the University of Idaho.
Oh.
If you remember, we're now like 2 years ago that this happened, November. I have been obsessed with this case.
Yes.
And so we are getting closer and closer. We're looking at August for that trial to start. But prosecutor Allison Jennings filed some documents to try to keep the family of Brian Koberger out of the courtroom because they may be called as witnesses. This was a response to Koberger's lawyers last week asking the judge to allow his family priority seating at trial, as the families of the victims have priority seating.
They should.
Of course.
Yeah.
So prosecutors will be filing their witness list with the judge by April 21st, and any of Koberger's family members included on that list should be excluded from the courtroom until they testify, according to Jennings.
What is the story about the sister and Amazon?
Like, yeah.
They shared an Amazon account?
Yeah. So they had a family Amazon account, and the story right now is that, of course, if you follow this case, you know, Koberger allegedly used a K-bar knife, and the sheath of the K-bar knife was left behind at the crime scene, and his DNA was found on the button snap of the K-bar knife sheath. Mm-hmm. And then, so obviously people had heard about this. It was going around the country about the K-bar knife, etc., while they were looking for whoever did this terrible crime. The sister of Brian Koberger in Pennsylvania had seen on the Amazon family account, allegedly, that he was searching for another K-bar knife and had purchased one prior.
After the murder. So after he bought the murder. One before the murder, and then he was looking for another one with a sheath.
Right, after.
Great. And then she alerted authorities or
her dad.
Oh, she told her dad.
And then the dad went out and then, of course, drove him cross-country back.
This is like the Gabby Petito thing. What is with these parents who, like, your daughter says, hey, just a heads up, Brian bought the same knife, and the dad goes out and gets him, he doesn't alert the authorities?
Well, so then, I mean, this is all alleged, too. Like, we won't know what actually happened or what was searched until mm-hmm. Until the trial, but the reports are that then maybe the sister alerted authorities.
All right.
Yep. Once the dad went.
And sorry, Curtis, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, we're good. What doesn't this also, Greg, put further understanding to what the dad was thinking when they were pulled over twice?
Yeah.
Like, so he knows that this knife is the same. He knows his son is acting in a way that he's never acted before. They're driving in a bizarre route to avoid detection when exiting and going across the country. And then he's pulled over twice within a couple hours.
If you thought your son had murdered in cold blood four people, could you ride next to him cross country the whole way without?
Absolutely not.
God, no. And in a much lighter way, Greg, this might be a way for you to get Julia off your Amazon. Just say this is a little skeevy.
Good point. But then there's also. So we talked a little bit about that weird selfie that Brian Koberger took just hours after the murders occurred. Yeah. And they're going to enter that in the trial because it shows he has bushy eyebrows, etc.
Yeah.
But
he's cooked.
Yeah. Kaylee Gonzalez's dad, who's one of the victims, said that he thinks he took that selfie as like a trophy. Like he had done it because he's giving the whole thing is just.
I know.
Keep us posted, Courtney.
I will.
Gives you anxiety.
Courtney, that was the best way I have heard this all explained anywhere.
Oh, thank you. I'm obsessed. I will be like Karen Reed times a million. I will
be
watching.
You're going to watch the trial every single day?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be summer. You might want to get outside a little
bit.
Well.
All right. We're going to take a break. We will get to the rest of the news with Courtney next.